Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hi, I'm Luke Ski.
Hi, I'm Devo Spice.
And we have other people. Sound off.
Robert Lund.
And Spaff.
And Jesse.
Yay! Yes,
hello, everyone.
It's a momentous...
Hooray for us.
It's a momentous day, the first ever appearance on the Funny Music Podcast by Robert Lund.
Yes, indeed. Right. Welcome, yes. Robert.
But you've never played one of my songs?
Well, no, we've never had you on the show.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm happy to be here, guys. I'm excited about the whole thing. So this is great.
Cool.
And I am too. This is Spaff. I'm happy to dispel the rumor that Robert Lund and Spaff are actually the same person. We're not. Two different voices.
Oh, God, no.
Means two different people.
I thought you were both Lemon Demon.
Two different voices in one head counts as two different people.
By the way, Robert Lund, if there's any way you can turn up the volume on your end, that would be helpful. You seem a little bit quiet in comparison to the other voices we're hearing.
Yeah, let me try.
Or just, you know.
It's up all the way.
All right. Well, just
that's what she said.
Okay. All right. Well, just try to be right on the mic there, and we'll be fine. I'll run this through Lava later before I post it anyway. So, Devo Spice, what have you been up to this week?
Christmas. We got a Christmas tree.
Wow.
We took the kids to a local farm to get a live tree for the first time. Since I moved out of my parents' house, I think it's the last time I had a live tree.
Devo? Oh,
man. I think we lost him.
This happened last week. We for some reason, Devo kept dropping, and we couldn't figure out why.
Or it was a really quick story.
This is going to be one of those nights.
Maybe. Anyway, you were in a lot of trees?
I'll be quick. We were in a lot with trees, and Santa Claus was there, and the kids' faces just damn near exploded. And so we got pictures and stuff, and that was very cool. The episode 16 of my Insider podcast is now live, and other than that, I've just been playing around with Renoise and trying to get music done on this new song I'm working on.
Cool.
So, what have you been up to?
Hold on a second.
Yes, it is going to be one of those nights.
No, here's the thing. Sea Monkey is chatting with me on the Google chat messaging thing.
Yeah.
But in order for the way I record to work, I can't turn off any of the other noises on my computer. So I'm telling him kindly, please stop messaging me during the
honk.
Hi, Sea Monkey.
Bring him on. Make him talk with us.
Sarah,
we like seeing.
Why not?
Well, let's see. Is he on Skype? I do have.
It's so much chaos so far. What it wouldn't hurt?
Yeah, no, really.
Well, okay.
In fact, if anyone would like to join our call, please.
I know there's a couple people in the chat room that have Skype.
Bring him on. We'll make it a big group
right.
thing.
I told him to log on to Skype so we can be on the show. So we'll see if he logs in and if we can add him to the wackiness.
If we're going to invite everybody, we need a prize to give away.
Sea Monkey's wife.
I'd buy... Hi, Sarah! Anyway. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, what I've been up to. So this week went from being... all about, I'm going to spend time working on a new song to getting a whole bunch of stuff happening at the same time. The good side of it being that it led to me making a bunch of money this week. So,
yay!
Yeah.
So I made a contact through the Craigslist ad that Sarah keeps reposting for me about basically this company, this man who owns or manages this company in the Chicagoland area wanted... a Christmas card featuring the dozen or so people around his office, like all on a nifty little card with their logo and all that stuff. So, he wanted it like, you know, this week because it's a Christmas card for the business and they need to get it out ASAP. Plus, he wanted to order a caricature of his family. So so I basically had to, you know, hop on, you know, the new art desk and get to work on that. So I've been working on that pretty much most of the time over the past day and a half. And then after I got that done, I had to send off my first the first half of the stuff that was sold on eBay last week, Skibay as I called it. Unfortunately, I miscalculated on the amount of postage, and I didn't know about the automatic postage calculator thing that's on eBay now, and so I kind of messed up. So I'm going to lose a little bit of money on some of these items, but I'm still overall coming out ahead. So between the eBay stuff, all 11 lots I put up sold, which is really nice. There was a lot of unopened Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel action figures that went for about $120. That was the biggest sale. Nice. So I'm really really happy about that.
And look on the bright side, you now have slightly less stuff.
Yes. And the nerd grab bag I talked about last week sold for I can't remember how much, like $20 or so. But then but then after my postage calculations, I only made a profit of like $5 off the thing. So oh well, at least I didn't lose money on it. So as I said before, I was anxiously awaiting some background music from the great and powerful Bob Emmett for my new song, and that had just arrived late last night, or the original, the MP3 mix, and now I got the AIFF mix, high quality, so now that I'm probably going to get to some initial work on that done tomorrow before I have to head off and, you know, work all weekend drawing caricatures of people and such, and, you know, then I'll have to get cranking on it big time on Monday and Tuesday, because I would like to have it finished up by Tuesday night, even though it isn't going live till Friday. So anyway.
Oh, so we have a new Luke Ski song on the way.
Yes, yes. I'm very happy about that.
Great.
And of course, Bob does excellent work, and I'm really psyched about getting this recorded. So anyway.
Shout out to Bob.
Word.
Hi, Bob.
So let's get right to it. We have guests. Let's get to interviewing Devo.
Wasted on a Sleigh by Robert Lund and Spaff.com. So, Spaff, have you officially changed your last name to .com?
Yes, it's on my driver's license now.
Awesome. Awesome. So, just for the sake of our audience, tell the listeners how the two of you hooked up with each other.
Well, define hooked up.
Yeah.
Well, you can find hooked up however you want. But, I mean, I know you, Spaff, you write a lot of songs, but you don't actually perform them. And Robert, you're a songwriter, singer. But how did you find out about each other and start working together?
You want me to tell this story, Robert?
Yeah, especially if my microphone sucks.
Once upon a time, this is Spaff here. I used to just write parody lyrics thinking that they would remain lyrics forever and ever. I would write up parody lyrics and send them to all of my friends on my email list, and they were very, very tolerant of me doing that. A few years ago, it was, 2003, in the run-up to the Iraq invasion, the second one, I wrote parody lyrics for the song Sleigh Ride and called it Sleigh Ride, S-L-A-Y Ride, about the invasion of Iraq, get Iraq, get Iraq, get Iraq, let's go, that sort of thing. And just, you know, sent it out to my email list. Well, unbeknownst to me, a coworker of mine sent these lyrics to a local radio station, a popular morning show here in Utah, which is now defunct, but it was Chunga and Mister at 107.5 The End. Well, he sent the lyrics to them. And I'm sitting in the office working one morning, and everybody yells, "Get over here! Come listen to the radio!" And I get in there, and it's 107.5 The End with Chunga and Mister, and they're playing Sleigh Ride, My Sleigh Ride, the lyrics, being sung on the radio by Robert Lund. I had never met Robert before. I had no idea that they even had my lyrics. So, of course, I was thrilled beyond repair. I immediately called the station. I said, "I want to talk to this Robert Lund guy." It turns out that they had, the DJs had forwarded the lyrics to Robert. Robert does this sort of thing for a living. He takes lyrics and makes real songs out of them and puts them on morning shows. And, it was just beautiful for me. So I have been harassing Robert constantly ever since. saying, please, please record more of my lyrics. Please, please,
no,
please.
No, I gotta say that, you know, in my position, I got lyrics from people all the time. Never, usually not finished. It's usually an idea or some line. They say, hey, this would be a great idea. They give you one line or the title of the song and say, do it.
Yeah, what? you should do Rogaine to Cocaine. Do it, do it. That's my idea. Do it.
So anyway, Spaff's lyrics, obviously, from you guys know from your experience with him, are great. They're tremendous, and I knew it from the get go. So his was just one out of thousands that I receive all the time that I thought was worthy of even spending the time with, because it's a great song.
Do we all know what Robert does for a living? That this is actually his day job. Some of us just do this for fun, for a hobby, but Robert actually does music and does comedy music for a living.
You know, nice. It sounds like this is a little bit what Jesse's doing now with Morning Sidekick. I've been doing it for almost 30 years now, but I worked privately for a radio group, Citadel Communications, and I was their corporate music producer, and I customized and produced parody songs for morning shows all over the country, but it was just for Citadel stations.
I couldn't figure out why I had never heard of you, and the work is so awesome, and God, you've got this really expensive looking video out there. I'm Your Everything.
Oh no, that was done by a friend of Spaff. Spaff, who was that? Malloy or whoever that was?
Kyle Mallory.
Mallory, yeah.
Mallory Media. Mallory Multimedia. I just happen to work with the guy.
One of the things that I always insisted on, though, because it worked so well for us in Salt Lake for so long, was how we personalized all the parody songs that I did. And when I started to do it at a corporate level for other markets, I always insisted that we take the persona and just create a character or a band in every market. So Robert Lund was never on the air in Reno or Albuquerque or Boston or wherever. It was always a pseudo, because I always insisted that whoever got the credit be there locally. We were always very careful about putting local landmarks and the DJ's names in the songs, and so all the listeners always thought, oh my God, these guys woke up this morning and did this just for us. You know, so yeah, we didn't use Robert Lund very often other than just here in Utah. I mean, like in Reno, it's the Teflon Cowchip Band. In Albuquerque, it's the John and Bean Morning Show Band, you know, so I was always known as something else over the years. And it just works so much better. You got so much more mileage out of your songs, because the people, you know, it was just warm, fuzzy stuff all day long.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great idea.
So I'm kind of curious as to, for both of you individually and then together, your history with the Dr. Demento show. Like, were you listening to it, you know, for years? And then, you know, when did you start submitting things and getting played on the show regularly?
That was Spaff's thing. All of my songs were all tailored for a specific market. A national release for me was never in the cards. I never was really interested in that. I learned early on, back in the mid '80s. I'd released a couple of CDs here locally, and one day we were doing the morning show, and a listener called up and said, "Oh yeah, I was on Napster this morning and got one of your tunes." So I went on to Napster, and there were 14 pages of Robert Lund songs that people were sharing. So right then, I mean, that was a defining moment in my career, frankly, because
how many of them were miscredited to Weird Al?
Yeah, exactly. And right then and there, I knew that, you know, our work was just free. It's going to be really hard to make this a career just selling your material. So I went into more of the corporate work and into the client work, you know, selling products and still doing parody songs, but went into the more commercial part of it. Anyway,
Meanwhile, this is Spaff again. I grew up listening to the Dr. Demento show here in Utah every Sunday night faithfully. And when I was a kid, I thought, you know, someday I want to make the Funny Five. You know, some people want to cure cancer. I wanted to make Dr. Demento's Funny Five at some point in my life.
I said the same thing when I was a kid.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Throw a ditto in there for me, too.
Yep.
Our life's goal is to make the Funny Five on the Dr. Demento show.
I wanted to be the fifth Beatle.
It's not too late. You can now be the third Beatle.
Yeah.
Now with Rock Band, anybody can be the fifth Beatle.
Exactly.
So when Robert started recording my songs, I'm like, you know what? This is my chance. I'm going to start sending this stuff to the Dr. Demento show and see if we can get on. And Robert and I did a CD together. Here's a plug for that. It's called Elves Gone Wild. We put that out at, the end of 2003. Uh-huh. And I sent it to Dr. Demento, and he actually played one of our songs from that CD. It was I Want Some Plastic Surgery for Christmas was the song he played. And I was thrilled. Dr. Demento played our song on his radio show. It wasn't in the Funny Five, but he played it. And that was good enough for them. So that was that. The next summer, we did a Star Wars song called I Got Crabs from Darth Vader. And I sent that to Dr. Demento, too. And he played it. And then the next week, he played it again. And then it went to the Funny Five the following week. And then it went to number one in the Funny Five. And it was like, you know what? My life's dream has now been realized. I can die now. I've accomplished everything I've ever wanted to do. Dr. Demento made I Got Crabs from Darth Vader his number one song for the week. So the rest of this is just great.
When that hit Dr. Demento, you guys kind of came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden there was this like string of songs on Dr. Demento by Robert Lund and Spaff, and I'm like, who are these guys? Where did they come from?
Yeah, I should say that my dream had been realized at that point, but I didn't stop. Once I got on there, it was very addictive. All I wanted every week from that point forward is to get back on the show again.
And now here we are.
You guys all can totally relate with this.
So, Wasted on a Sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us, give us the backstory on this song.
Spat, wasn't this one you wrote last? You wrote this one a while ago, didn't you? I was going to do this a year ago.
Yeah, I wrote this back in 2005. I used to contribute pretty regularly to a parody lyrics website called amiright.com, and it still exists and it's still very active. I used to contribute to that all the time, and I wrote this for that website and people liked it, so I got Robert to record it. And it's a parody of a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song called Wasted on the Way, which probably none of you even remember or know. Do you even know Crosby, Stills, and Nash? Come on, guys. Help me out here.
I've heard the song.
I do.
am I the oldest guy on this site?
Don't go any farther with that. It's a toss-up between you and me, and just stop the conversation now.
Actually, I think the members of Toy Boat have you all beat, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So Crosby, Stills, and Nash's version of their song Wasted on the Way is not an a cappella song. They have full instrumentation, and that's how Robert recorded it, because he can play everything. And he sent it to me, and I loved it. But what I loved most about it were his harmonies. And so I said, hey, dude, send me a version without all the backing tracks. Send me just an a cappella version. I want to hear what it sounds like just with your vocals alone. And he did, and I loved that even more than the version with the instruments. And so I said, we got to do something with just this. And so that's the version that we put up on the phone.
That's awesome.
Okay. That was my next question.
And
there is a version with all the work there. with the 8 hours of instrumentation. But I had to agree with him. When I was mixing it, I liked the lyrics just because of the harmonies, but What the heck? Yeah, let's release it like this. Fun.
Cool.
And is there going to be a Elves Gone Wild Volume 2 or any other Lund Spaff CDs coming out?
Man, I think we've got enough to fill one up, Spaff. That's up to you. I'm totally down for it. Yeah, I don't know about CDs. I've kind of shied away from CDs anymore. Downloads are pretty much the way to go. Or when you say put a CD together, do you mean that? Or do you mean physically?
Well, I'm old school in the sense that I still like to collect physical CDs. I mean, that's just the way I am. But I know that I could tell you the name of a guy I get CDs from in Madison, Wisconsin, who does low runs at decent prices, you know.
Make 50 or 100 of them, and then you don't have to worry about having a big warehouse of CDs.
Yeah.
Well, those must be CDRs then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But I mean, it comes in handy if you're, you know, going to perform at a place, you know, like, you know, MarsCon. Oh, sure. Hint, hint.
MarsCon.
You know what?
Spaff, I think we ought to go this year. Let's just do this.
You're calling me out live?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we ought
to. I got your back, Robert. Let's go.
We ought to just jump on a plane and go out there. And
so this thing's what, in the middle of Wisconsin, in the middle of winter?
It's in the Twin Cities first weekend in March.
It's nothing else. Just go out and rub cheeks. I don't know. And maybe sing a song or two. I don't know. We'll talk about it later, Spaff. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Hey, you volunteered this in front of all of these guys and all of these listeners. I think you're going now.
Well, on a serious note, email me, you know, at my, you know, Gmail address that you guys have, and if you want to seriously talk about it, let me know, and we'll see what we can make happen. So, anyway, anything else you want to ask them about the song or stuff?
No,
or?
I'm good.
All right, well, here it is. So, you guys, mute your microphones on your end while we play this stuff so that we don't get any extra sound effects in there. So here it is, Robert Lund and Spaff with Wasted on the Sleigh on the Funny Music Podcast. Here we go.
Look at Santa, just another aging hippie, wanting Bud, but lighting Christmas trees instead. Big old beard and gut, says it's far out, dude, to see ya. I'd swear he's Jerry Garcia. But that guy is dead, and there's so much smoke escaping from his bag of gifts. Kris Kringle's wasted on the sleigh. So much jolly laughter tripping through the air. Man, those brownies must have carried him away. Wake up Christmas morn, there's a funky smell that lingers. Someone scarfed up all the zingers and the pumpkin pie. There's a scribbled card saying, Merry one a Christmas. When you open up the gifts, you'll get a contact high. So much time inhaling chronic Christmas cheer. Saint Nick is wasted on the sleigh. So much double parking with his airbrush dear. Bet the Mounties come and carry him away. So much scrambled eggnog dripping off his beard. Santa is wasted on the sleigh. So much reckless flying with his stoner deer. Watch the Mounties come and carry him away. Yep, the Mounties came and carried him away.
Hey Hey, I'm Paul Levinson of Levinson News Clips, and if you would like a review of your favorite television show, maybe 30 minutes to an hour after the show has finished airing on television, and a review that's not going to take up much of your time, just 4 or 5 minutes, you want to go to Levinson News Clips. That's right. I have reviews of 24, Lost, Heroes, Battlestar Galactica. I'll be doing something for Caprica, that's for sure. Californication, Wired, The Tudors, everything. And you can get them really within an hour after the show has been broadcast for the first time, sometimes even a little faster. So that's LevinsonNewsClips.com. Levinson News Clips. Come on, you know you want to do this. If you're in a class somewhere in a boring office and you're thinking about that episode of Lost, you can do more than think about it. Just go to Levinson News Clips and you'll hear some of my reviews and views of that show. Levinson News Clips. LevinsonNewsClips.com. TV reviews.
Time for funny music news. Something, something, something. Okay.
Okay.
Are you back, Devo?
I am back.
Is everybody else still here?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, yep. Just checking. All right, Devo, do the news.
In the news this week, surprised we didn't mention this before, but the Logan Awards website is now live. That's loganawards.com. And what the Logan Awards are is the first ever comedy music awards. It's actually the Logan Whitehurst Award for Excellence in Comedy Music, I believe is how it's phrased. This was Rob Balder's brainchild. And it's what we're going to do is next year at Con on the Cob is the current plan. We're going to be giving out the awards, and he's got the whole process lined up. But right now, the big thing is they're taking donations because the award statue itself runs in somewhere in the neighborhood of about $600 a piece. And there's, I think, three or four of them we're going to be giving out the first year. So we got a little bit of money to raise. So we're taking donations at loganawards.com. So definitely check that out.
And Robert London Spaff will win them every year.
Quite possibly.
No.
If so, I'm in. Con on the Cob, right? We're going there too, right, Robert?
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? I remember seeing a prototype of this trophy with the robot cat that,
yes,
that Rob Balder came up with. Is that what the trophy is going to,
yes,
look like?
Yeah, Rob had the first one at the last Con on the Cob. Showed it off to the audience, and it looked fantastic.
Oh, beautiful. All right, Robert, we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah.
The Consortium of Genius's latest album, Music for Supervillains, is now available in the Fump store, so you can head over to thefump.com and order that. And the Boobles have silicone. Silicone bracelets, that is. Ah, see, you should have got Sea Monkey on here. This is his bit.
Well, you want me to try to get him on?
No, it's all right. To raise funds to press their highly anticipated debut album to benefit breast cancer research, the Boobles are offering these exclusive silicone bracelets for your donation of only $3 each at theboobles.org. That's cheap enough to adorn every wrist in your house. Black silicone bracelet is debossed and filled with hot pink ink, declaring "We love boobs, yeah, yeah, yeah," on one side and the Boobles website on the other. Hot! Put your boob where your wrist is and help this fundraiser album get out of the gate today. So yeah, go to theboobles.org and you can order one of these little pink bracelets for $3 and help get this album, which is going to be awesome when it comes out, help get this thing into production.
Yes, we do love boobs.
We do indeed.
Oh, Spaff loves boobs.
We should write a song about that.
Yeah.
So that's all the news I got.
Just make sure you don't do 100 things about boobs. It has to be less than that.
exactly.
Good idea, Luke. We'll see if we can come up with something less than 100.
We should also mention in the news, I think, really quick, that Schaefer the Dark Lord's music video for The Bender is now out on YouTube, and also at another website who I can't remember, but the Safe Enough for YouTube version is on YouTube, and then at that one it tells you how to get to the one that's not safe for YouTube. So yeah.
Is this new? Because I thought he had a video for that song a while ago.
No, this is new. It just came out. It's yeah. It's so The Bender by Schaefer the Dark Lord. Look for it on YouTube. Awesomeness.
So. Oh, okay. All right, Jesse.
Okay.
Christmas with the Zombies.
Yeah.
So what inspired this one?
Well, I wasn't actually doing a whole lot of music production. I got married. I had kids. The hobbies start to fall off. I was kind of stupid. Yeah, I was kind of stupefied in the early part of the 2000s when the digital stuff really came about. I saw somebody, you know, it had just been introduced. It was really expensive. I saw somebody running Cakewalk, and I couldn't comprehend what was going on. But a couple of years went by, and 2008, and I wanted to mention, Devo Spice, I've been working on this song as long as you've been working on Nothing But a Geek Thing.
Wow.
I started this song in 2008. I was on Will Wheaton's blog, and there was a mention about a great zombie song from somebody named Jonathan Colton. Never heard of him. Followed up on that, and I listened to Re Your Brains, and I just thought it was the most freaking brilliant thing I'd heard ever. I mean, it was amazing. The music, the lyrics, the humor. I was blown away, and it was a kick in the butt to me. I wanted to get back into music when I heard that song. And I wanted to do a zombie song. I just listened to it, and I thought, wow, I'm going to try to do something like that. So I started work on it, and I had gotten, coincidentally, just around that time, introduced to FL Studio. So I taught myself FL Studio. I learned about virtual instruments. And as the months went by, I wasn't in any hurry. I built it piece by piece, the melody, the lyrics. I would add instruments as I learned them. And then one day I realized that I could do it like Boris Karloff from Monster Mash. Because I'm not crazy about my own singing, and it wasn't grabbing me. And then one day I realized I should do this as Boris Karloff. And then the whole thing came together, and I really started working on it hard to get it out for this Christmas, and I made it.
Yeah, it was a damn good Karloff impression.
Yeah, Monster Mash was big in my life. It was big in a lot of – yeah, was it the first generally successful comedy song to cross everything, every media? And it was a TV – it was a claymation special, wasn't it?
It's definitely one of the biggest novelty songs of all time.
Yeah, there was like
I don't know if it was the first
direct-to-video animated cartoon film. I may still have it somewhere in the basement amongst my VHS tapes. But yeah,
yeah, and it's
the definitive Halloween song. There's, yeah. I mean, name a Halloween song.
Exactly, and when I heard "Re Your Brains," I thought if I could somehow do something with Christmas that had the flavor of Halloween to it. And when I thought of Monster Mash, and I'm not really doing the Monster Mash, I'm doing sort of the Boris Karloff I've been doing for years, but that was my hook. That was my tie-in, and that's what I thought would push it over the edge and make it a good song.
So you mentioned in the write-up that, joking, that the producers of The Walking Dead commissioned you to write a song, and that got my brain thinking of like a Walking Dead Christmas special.
Exactly.
What do you think that would be like?
Well, it would open with my song.
Of course.
I don't know. Well, what really got me with the internet, you can't do anything original. If you think you have a great idea, Google it. Somebody's done it. Yeah. And I put this out, and I thought, oh my God, what if? And I Googled it, and there are zombie Christmas songs. So there's a lot of material to draw on for a Walking Dead Christmas special.
Are you a big zombie fan in general?
Are you actually a zombie?
I'm not actually a zombie. You know, I've just been following the flow of the culture. It suddenly became big, and in fact, when I started this, I guess the Twilight were the Twilight books out, or the movies certainly weren't thought of yet. And I was so annoyed when the vampires started to overtake the zombies, and I hadn't got my song done yet. So yeah. then Zombieland came out, and I thought I had a breathing space there. And then, as I was just almost done the song, I heard the commercials for The Walking Dead, and I thought, ah, this is perfect. It's now or never.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody the other day over at Ed DeBevick's just about how the kind of cultural general meme thing of like how things are popular for a while. It's like, you know, there was the pirates thing, and then there was the vampires thing, and now there's the zombies thing. And with the Fump, you know, me being Mr., marketing guy who wants to come up with a billion new products, I think there should be, you know, all these Fump compilation albums. And we certainly have – we seem to have enough zombie songs to put out the Fump zombie compilation album, you know, as well as the pirate album and the vampire album and the video game album and the, you know, science fiction album and the Harry Potter album, you know. Not to mention
whatever
Halloween
works,
and Christmas.
Whatever works.
So, yeah.
Well, I've noticed what tends to happen in like pop culture is that somebody does something really well, whether it's a zombie movie or a vampire movie or TV show or whatever. I really think Buffy started the whole vampire craze because Buffy was done really well. And then people was like, oh, vampires are popular. Let's do vampire stuff. And because I noticed that when Marsha the Penguins came out. Because March of the Penguins, this documentary, went huge. And I saw an interview with somebody who said, Hollywood still doesn't get it. You know, mark my words, over the next 5 years, we're going to see nothing but penguin movies. And sure enough, there were like CGI animated penguin movies or a couple of the live action penguin movies. It was like all of a sudden Hollywood was like, everyone wants to see penguins. Penguins are popular, right? No, they're not. It's just that somebody did it really well and everyone else is copying them.
And then
it's kind of the same thing.
And then there's like, you know, punk rock originalist types that are being like, man, I was into penguins before everyone else was into penguins.
Yeah, exactly.
Posers. Well, I think Bob Saget pretty well put the nail in the coffin of penguins.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it.
Don't.
do share. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh,
it was some kind of movie that was meant to be like a parody of The March of the Penguins, but they got a bunch of different celebrities to do weird voiceovers and stuff to make it all bizarre.
I read about that on Netflix.
I can't remember the title of it, but I know I saw it in the video store and I picked up the box and read it and considered renting it, but I didn't.
I think it's on Netflix streaming. I forget what it's called.
It's something of the there's a real good reason there's no buzz for it.
How about Penguins of the Dead? Yes! Zombie penguins! Oh, wait, then we have to go up against Worm Quartet's Vampire
Penguins. Worm Quartet's Vampire Penguins,
Oh, damn it!
And the funny thing is, in the Buffy the Vampire video game for the GameCube, there are actual vampire penguins in the game.
Oh, man!
See, there is nothing original. You can't do it.
Yeah, there's a level that takes place at the Sunnydale Zoo, and there's vampire penguins. And I called Shoebox immediately, and I said, I'm fighting vampire penguins.
Be great. A new motto for us. The Fump. There's nothing original.
Doing the same stuff over again better.
Yes. But, you know, now The Walking Dead is out, and it's awesome, so there's going to be more zombie stuff, I'm convinced.
Yes.
You know, between Zombieland and The Walking Dead, where there's and people are going to say that the zombie resurgence is going to be an answer to the vampire people, you know, a backlash against the vampire stuff with Twilight, but who cares?
As long as we all keep working.
Exactly.
We just have to stay ahead of the curve. What's the next trend going to be? I'm thinking Amish is what's going to be hot next. Let's all start doing Amish stuff.
I'll put my money on clowns.
Clowns? Okay.
Clowns.
Better yet, Amish clowns. There you go.
Amish clowns.
I'll go with Westerns.
Can you twist some churned butter into a balloon animal? Is that possible?
Well, we have Cowboys and Aliens coming up soon, so that'll be interesting. See if that's
See, I was right. Westerns.
Aliens in other time periods.
And if David Spade were here, he would say, I liked it much better the first time when it was called Firefly.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway. Somebody in the channel says March of the Korean Penguins. Apparently there's
Because they did all the animation.
Oh, okay.
Korean Amish zombie penguins.
In 3D!
Perfect. I know this isn't my interview, but can I ask Jesse something?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Jesse, do you do this for a living? Do you do stuff kind of like what Robert Lund does for a living?
Well, he apparently was much more brilliant and with the strategy of the local orientation, which I'll immediately tell my boss about tomorrow. But anyway, I work for Morning Sidekick, which is a privately held comedy company. It's not owned by Citadel or Clear Channel or whatever. We started up. In fact, I remember the original advertisement for American Comedy Network asking for we're starting a new comedy organization. Just a couple of guys, myself and Keith Hughes, who started recording funny stuff on reel-to-reel tape back in the day and mailing the packages out to radio stations and doing personal calling. And it's I guess you'd call it like a cottage kind of industry. We have 100 and some affiliates in the U.S. and Canada. It's enough to make a living on. I myself never used to do a lot of music production. I wrote a lot of lyrics for the comedy songs that we would do. Oh, what I was going to say is as we slowly got bigger and bigger, we began to be able to afford to bring musicians in because our the thing that made this all possible for us is that we're running a recording studio where we produce radio commercials and other audio products. So that pays the bills and allows us to do the comedy thing, not quote-unquote on the side, but the actual recording studio business started first, and then our love of comedy drove us into that, and we picked up on the idea of getting radio station affiliates to sign on a monthly fee to get our stuff, and it went from there.
Well, so is your day job then? This is what you do for a – you don't have another job. Like me, this is just a hobby. I have a real day job.
Well, my day job is to sit and go through all the funny news of the day and write a bunch of punchlines, and we send that out every night to all the DJs so they can sound funny in the morning. And I write comedy bits that we produce in the studio, audio comedy bits, and I write lyrics for song parodies. And my hobby now is to do my own additional music production, funny songs. So it all ended up working together, which is just, I'm so glad it all worked out.
Wow, that sounds awfully familiar, Robert. That's not too different from what you do.
That sounds a lot like what I used to do. I'm almost totally client-based now. I work for myself. And I was just an employee of Citadel. They didn't, there were markets that hired their own production houses, like kind of like what you are, what you do. But I was just a one-man band who relied a lot on, the morning show producers to feed me information. And in the beginning, I wrote everything. When I got to about 40 markets, I just said, the ones that are written will be the first ones that are produced. I don't have time to write all these, but I'll produce them. So that's how mine kind of evolved. And then when I left the radio station to just start to work on my own, it really became just a hobby with Matt. And the bread and butter are the parody jingles I write for clients and to sell stuff, frankly. That's what I do.
Right. And where we exist today is, we're not owned by a radio station ownership group like most or all of the other comedy services are. We exist for those middle-sized stations that aren't owned by a giant corporation who gives them comedy, but also want to sound inventive, want to sound funny in the morning, and have enough money to afford us.
That was the brainchild of the Citadel's owner. That was his way of thinking. He says, "I want to keep these medium markets, sounding big and localized and personalized." And it was his idea. He kind of saw what we were doing here in Salt Lake and just blew it up all over the country in medium markets, and it worked. He went from three radio stations to the third largest broadcaster in the country in 6-7 years. And it was a fun ride. They flew me around on this little Learjet, and we'd kick off a new market every couple of months with some new songs. Jeez. And new jingles. It was a great ride for about 9-10 years. It was what I did. It was so fun. So hang in there, man. Keep going because it gets better and better.
Meanwhile,
yeah,
it sounds like
you got the glamorous, glitzy end of it, and we're just sort of trudging away for our little towns. But we like it. We like it. It's a nice job. It's beats sitting in a cubicle somewhere.
Meanwhile, in Chicago, Luke begs people to have him draw pictures for money.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey, Tom sits away in a cubicle.
And Spaff does the same thing in Utah. Cubicle all day, every day.
Well, your day job at least was able to help out the Fump.
that's right. Yes, Spaff's real day job is we provide merchant accounts to businesses that want to accept credit cards, and we've provided the merchant account to the Fump.
Yay!
So, hooray!
At least I'm lucky. I'm fortunate enough to have my other day job be another job where I'm my own boss doing creative stuff, and which is often funny. So between the art and the comedy, I'm managing to get by with the help of my wonderful wife, who doesn't stab me all the time.
Yet.
So, yeah.
And when she does, you'll be a zombie, and we've come full circle.
Awesome. Excellent. So shall we get to the song then?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right, here is. Jesse Smith with Christmas with the Zombies on the Funny Music Podcast.
Oh, their clothes are dirty and full of tears, and they never want to comb their hair. It's truly awful, the things they've done, but Christmas is for everyone. So what are we supposed to do when the doorbell rings? Hide behind the curtains and pretend we don't hear those despicable things when it's Christmas with the Zombies. Christmas with the Zombies. Well, it was round Thanksgiving when we first heard, and no one knows why it occurred, but the dead were rising, now chaos reigns, and even worse, they're hungry for brains. The middle of December's here, and we're stuck inside. It's hard to do holiday shopping when the streets are clogged with a decaying tide, 'cause it's Christmas with the Zombies. Christmas with the Zombies. I guess I should be scared, considering they're dead, but their skin is holly green, and the blood all over them is red, and it makes me think of Christmas. 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 All right, now, zombie tap dance, go! Oh, wait, no, stop, bad idea, sorry. It's a very special time of year when everyone is full of cheer. With a little help, the living dead might get that through their rotting heads. I'm taking them some cookies and some eggnog, too. If one of them should bite me, don't let me back in. If it's the last thing you do, this is Christmas with the Zombies. Christmas with the Zombies. Christmas with the Zombies. Get away from me with that mistletoe. Christmas with the zombie. It's beginning to look a lot like zombies.
Dementia Radio.
DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. You know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback. Feedback.
Feedback. Are we all here?
And feedback this week. First, I need to apologize to Draconis, who sent us a comment on the website for last week's show, and I missed it. So I don't know whether it came in late or what happened, but so I got a comment here, which is about last week's show, but we can talk about it anyway. Draconis here. Since TV's Kyle will be on, here's your cartoon question for the Transformers fans on the cast. What do you think of the new series that started using the basic designs for the Autobots from both the movie Optimus, Bumblebee, and Arky, and the Transformers animated Ratchet and Bulkhead, the Decepticons from the movie Starscream, Soundwave, Megatron, story idea from Armada, Cybertron, Energon, and G1, and giving Megatron the worst plot device in modern times, using crystallized Unicron blood to resurrect dead Transformers into zombies. Only plus I saw from the series was it used the original voice actors for both Prime and Megatron. So, do you know anything about this, Luke?
Yes, there's a new network called The Hub, which has a lot to do with Hasbro, and they had like this 5-episode miniseries to kind of be the beginning of a new Transformers series that's computer animated. I haven't seen it. I meant to set my TiVo for it, but I didn't. I know that Jared Perez saw it, and he thought it was pretty decent. I saw some previews for it, and it looked kind of neat. I have to assume it's got to be better than what Michael Bay is doing. Just so that nobody sends in a message just to correct you, it's RC.
RC. Gotcha.
But, yeah, it's like I liked there was an actual cartoon series that was called Transformers Animated that came out a few years ago on Cartoon Network, and I really liked that one.
I heard that was good. I never did see it, though.
Yeah, it's out on DVD. So Tom Kenny was the voice of Starscream, and he was basically trying to do, you know, the way he originally sounded back in the 80s, just kind of his own impression of it, and it was just spot on and awesome. So
cool.
Plus, Weird Al was in it in a couple episodes doing the voice of Wreck-Gar, who transformed...
Oh, the garbage truck,
yes.
Right?
It's great. This one moment, Ratchet's yelling at him. It's like, you're going to, you know, blah, 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 problems. You wouldn't dare do anything that stupid. And Wreck-Gar goes, I am Wreck-Gar. I dare to be stupid.
So nice.
That was perfect. Anyway, let's move on.
Moving on. From 2 episodes ago, the metal shed chicken coop tile line was referencing episode 4 from what Chris said. The truck is the Trocadero in Philly, right by Chinatown, used for smaller concerts and events. Dino wasn't meant to be either Yoshi or the Flintstones Dino, but shortening a version saying of Dino Mike. Okay, that explains that.
Ah.
Meaning the question was for Dino Mike to answer. I don't even remember what happened with that. I think we completely screwed that one up. Now, TV's Kyle, of the cartoons you grew up on, what series do you wish come to DVD, and if remade, did they mess it up?
Well, I think Fanboy and Chum Chum Season 2 is the best cartoon ever.
Okay, that's the answer on behalf of TV's Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle, if you're listening, you can reply to his comment on the FUMP website. Yeah. Devo Spice, what was your influence when doing Getting Old Sucks? That's easy. True story, I bent over to tie my shoe one day, and I pulled a muscle in my back. And I laid there on the floor going, God, it sucks to get old. And then I went, damn, it sucks to get old. And I'm like, there's a song. And that was originally supposed to be on Die Laughing. I thought of that back in like 2004, 2005, something like that. But I couldn't get it done in time. So after we launched the FUMP, that was one of the songs that I kind of, you know, put on the fast track to get done. And Luke Ski, what do you think of the remakes of the Transformers, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, slated 2011, Cartoon Network, the Voltron, slated 2011, Nicktoons, We'll have the fans who grew up with the originals. Larry, Kenny, Lion-O said the script for the new Thundercats keeps the style of the original, but the voices of Prime and Megatron said the same about Transformers Prime, and that looks like a bomb.
First of all, Draconis, we all appreciate your enthusiasm submitting questions to to us, but it's like you kind of keep asking the same questions here that you keep asking for my podcast, Bad Rapport, about the cartoons. And it's like on Bad Rapport, you know, since it's just my podcast to just kind of blather on and on about stupid crap, which I do for hours upon end with Carrie. It's like here we should probably try to, for the most part, keep the focus on, you know, like what's happening with, you know, the Fump and the stuff here. You know what I mean? So generally speaking, I don't know what I think about many of those remakes because I haven't really looked into what's happening to them yet. I'm kind of too busy to keep on the my finger on the pulse of what's going on with it. I mean, if somebody posts something on Facebook, I'll usually take a look at it. But I haven't been paying close attention other than, like, you know, what I said about the new Transformer series a few minutes earlier is basically all I know about it thus far. I mean, I'm open to anybody reinterpreting anything. I mean, unlike a lot of people my age, I don't immediately assume something is going to suck just because it's getting remade. I like to give, you know, people.
See, I do. I'm pretty much certain that the Buffy the Vampire Slayer remake is going to suck because Joss Whedon won't be involved in it.
Well, you know, did you read Joss Whedon's comments where he's like, "Yes, I'm not going to, you know, make too many comments on this because I have to go and work on this Avengers movie that I just made up myself." So, you know.
Okay, Spaff, maybe we won't go to MarsCon.
I know, I feel like I just, like, left Earth and went to a different planet.
Oh, my God.
We got alcohol. Lots and lots of alcohol.
Yes, right,
maybe
and girls.
We'll go to Mars. Oh, alcohol and girls. Okay, Robert, now they're talking. We're not going to talk right. about Transformers the whole time.
Refer to the song The Geeks Come Out at Night for the type of environment we're talking about here.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
we won't be sitting around all night talking about Joss Whedon.
No.
Okay.
Well, we do, but we're drunk and there's girls.
No offense to any of you. We love all that shit.
Email from Lee Seitz, who's in the chat room. A lovely job by Robert Lund on Wasted on the Sleigh. I wouldn't have guessed he could sound so much like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Will the one with instrumentation be released somewhere? Do you guys have any plans to release that one anywhere?
Sure, Spaff. It doesn't matter to me.
Where should we put it?
Put it on the Elves Gone Wild Part 2 CD.
Okay, that's okay. The answer is yes. Yes.
Somewhere.
We will do something with it.
Just email me and I'll send you a download. I'll just give it to her.
There you go. Everyone listening, Robert at robertlund.com.
When the Fump started, all the songs just listed Robert Lund as the artist. I realize Spaff writes the lyrics, but acknowledging that as part of the artist name is certainly not the norm for most musical acts. Does whichever of them is on the show want to discuss the semi-recent addition of anspaff.com to the artist name? And does either have tips on the best way for a parody writer to stalk an artist and get him or her to do your stuff?
Oh, wow. Oh, Spaff, you clear that one up. Other than it's just good because I looked, you know, I honestly looked at a lot of the submittals I got the lyrics that were sent to me, I looked at most of them, but they, frankly, weren't really, they weren't good. Spaffs were great, and I've been writing songs for 20 years before I started to use his stuff, but his were just that good. So if you're writing some good material, it doesn't matter who you send it to, they'll do it because it makes them look better. Spaff's made me look great for the last 5 or 6 years with his terrific writing. So if you're a terrific writer, send it to everybody and somebody will do it.
Well, thanks, man. And I'll answer the part about how and why the artist name changed. I was afraid that people thought that Robert Lund and Spaff were one and the same. In fact, I got an email that was sent to me from a very highly personal email.
Oh, from one of my old girlfriends.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you said it, yes. I'm like,
that's great.
Oh, awkward.
Oh, seriously. It still makes me blush thinking about what was said in that email that was.
You want to read it?
I should read it. But at that point, I'm like, you know what? People think we're the same person, clearly. So it was really more for that reason than anything. It's just to let people know that Robert Lund and Spaff.com are two different people. So
here's another way we can sell some more Elves Gone Wild. Spaff actually has a vocal debut on that CD. There's a bonus track on that CD called Super Frog, and Matt does the lead vocals on that.
Who's Matt?
Spaff. Sorry.
It's the only song that Spaff is me, I have ever done vocals for. And you're right.
And you did a great job on that, by the way.
It took me 8 hours to get that vocal.
That's why it's the only one I've ever done. I'm just not a singer. And thank you, Luke. I should say thank you.
No, dude. The reason we stuck it on here is because you did such a great job. It took
27 takes, and that was me, you know, in my Kermit the Frog voice. Imagine how many takes it would have taken if I would have just been singing as myself. I leave the vocals to Robert.
In the chat room, Brett G wants to know, which one of you did they believe to be fictional?
Fictional? You know what? I don't think it was a question of who was fictional. It's just that people thought Robert Lund and Spaff were one and the same. So I got this really embarrassing email sent to me, which I then forwarded to Robert, and we had a great laugh about. But I'm like, I don't want any more of those.
Moving on to Jesse Smith's Christmas with the Zombies. I guess I should have expected a zombie carol or two this year, given the current zombie craze. He does a good job of impersonating Pickett, impersonating Karloff. And regarding tracking appearances on the show, no, the hosts don't count, as they obviously win. If Jesse Smith makes it this week, he'll be tied for second place with Jace McClain of Nuclear Bubble Wrap. If not, he'll still be tied for third with Chris Mezzalesta. Stay funny. All right, thank you, Lee. And finally, email from Blasted Bill. In response to last week's request to assign Fumpers into body parts. You ready for this?
Yes.
I'm afraid.
I can't hear you guys anymore.
Check my headphones.
We can hear you.
I'll fix that. Let me just read this and I'll fix my headphones. Devo is the brain. Thank you. Luke is the mouth. Ian is the game controlling thumbs. Tom Smith is the heart. Yes, cheesy but accurate. Shoebox is the voice in the Fump's head. Possible Oscar is the feet, as good as any part, as good a body part as any. Raymond and Scum, the one gland that is so rarely used that evolution will eventually get rid of it. That's just cruel. Rob Balder is the liver. Robert London, Spaff.com, or the funny bone. Carla Ulbrich is, well, she's that one part, you know? Carrie Dalby is those other parts. Cog is the evil bits. Nuclear Bubble Wrap is the skin. Positude is the uvula. Power Salad is the voice box. Steve Goody is the eyes. And as we mentioned already, Sea Monkey is the wang. I know I missed several, but I didn't want to make the list any longer than it had to be. Insert funny line here. Blasted Bill. So thank you, Bill. Let me fix my headphones so I can hear you guys.
So to any of the parts that were missed or artists that were missed, people are allowed to continue this, you know, in comments for future episodes. So
I'm picturing a Fump version of the game Operation.
Ooh, that'd be great.
More merchandise.
Thank you, Bill, for not making Robert Lund and Spaff the ass.
The two cheeks. Oh.
Two cheeks.
Never mind. So, shall we tease what's coming up on the Fump next week, Mr. Spice?
Yes. Next week we have new songs by Steve Goody and Mark Gunn.
Woo!
Yay!
Cat song?
No, oddly. Huh.
It's Christmas with kitties, and kitties like Christmas.
I don't think it's a cat song. I listened to it today. I forgot what it was.
Little Christmas balls.
We should say, Robert, what one of Robert's favorite songs on the Fump, or if not his favorite song of all on, appear on the Fump, is, go ahead, tell him, Robert.
God damn it, Mark Gunn, shut up about your cat.
Yeah, I love that song myself.
God, that was so great. You know, like part of the fun was the little feud we had going too. That was fun.
You know what was really fun? When Shoebox and I performed that at Icon with Mark Gunn in the audience. You know, in front of, 100 or so other people who had no idea, that Mark was in on the joke. And, so then at the end of the song, Mark comes up and he's like flailing his auto harp around, chasing us off the stage.
Great song. That was so fun. Just fun.
Yes, and we love you, Shoebox, and Mark Gunn, if you're listening to this, we love you too, man.
Absolutely.
It's a big love fest here at thefump.com. So, obviously, spaff.com and robertlund.com would be your guys' addresses to go to for things.
Uh-huh.
Please do.
Is there anything else?
No, just go to the Fump.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys would like to plug?
Should we plug Elves Gone Wild one more time, Robert?
Sure.
Elves Gone Wild is available for sale at the Fump stores. You can go to thefump.com and order Elves Gone Wild.
Thank you very much. Yes, and even if you've listened faithfully to the Dr. Demento show and the Fump, there are most of the tracks on that CD you've never heard unless you own it. So own it.
Yeah, you can hear Spaff sing.
You can own it just like they owned the Funny 25 last year.
Indeed.
So,
Who's going to get number one this year, Luke? Who do you predict?
Well, according to DJ Particle's fan predictions, it's going to Nuclear Bubble Wrap with Write You a Song.
Nice.
So, and the last time I checked, about 15 of the funny, the 15 tracks in the Funny 25 projected either came from the Fump or the Fump Sideshow. So, we rule this game. Jesse, plug things.
Yeah. Check out my kids' CD. Go to cdbaby.com and in the search.
Yeah, that was a great. I'm sorry. That was a great pause. Check out my kids. I'm like, man. Oh, your kids.
Dude, be careful.
How much for your women? The little girl.
Never mind.
My sister.
Tell us about your kid's CD.
Yeah, go to cdbaby.com. In the search window, type in I Love My Toys. Thank you very much.
Cool. Anything for you to plug, Devo, besides the $3.99 Insane Sudden Death CD sale? Devo? Oh, did he drop again?
Hello. Oh.
There we go.
He's calling in.
What did I miss?
Does he have a bladder problem we don't know about?
If we do, I don't know about it either.
CDs, $3.99.
Yeah, Sudden Death CDs and Technobabble CDs are $3.99, available at the Fump Store or DevoSpice.com.
And if you need last-minute Christmas gifts of an artistic nature, you could check out artbylukeski.com, and you could get my music and other stuff like that at thegreatlukeski.com. If you go to marscondementia.com, you won't find any new news yet. So more news on that when there's news in the future for news.
You know, I have firsthand evidence now that Sudden Death CDs make great stocking stuffers. Did you see the comment on my live journal?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Somebody commented on my live journal. Yay, stocking stuffers! That woman ordered 8 copies of the Sudden Death CDs, so she wasn't kidding.
Have you seen the group that Tom Smith started on Live Journal called Pimp My Stuff?
Yes.
Yes. Cool. I put stuff there. Anyway, time for the show to be over. So, on behalf of the Funny Music Project, I'm Luke Ski.
I am Devo Spice.
And then the other people say goodbye.
Goodbye,
bye, buddy. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at dementiaradio.org, and join us in the chat, or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com.
The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week, where you'll hear Luke Ski say,
Attack of the Amish Ninja! Pirate Zombie Penguins in 3D!